This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a true honor to be joined by the president of the National Education Association. A lot going on. We know we want to hear all about it. I always like to say, you know, when I taught in D.C. public schools briefly, our union in D.C. is AFT. But my family's history goes back 80 years with the NEA and the founding of the Middle Tennessee Colored Teachers Association by my grandfather in Nashville, Tennessee. So I guess NEA is in my blood. Teaching's in my family's blood. And so this is my cousin, we may as well say. Yeah. And I will always stand with the NEA, as we should. If we care about students at all, we have to care about teachers. Becky Pringle, welcome to Make It Plain. How are you?
I am good. Reverend Thompson, thank you for reminding me again of that history and so much of what's happening right now. And NEA's reaction to it is steeped in what you just shared, because we merged the Black and white teachers unions in the late 60s. And Tennessee was one of our powerful ATA, American Teachers Association, that was the name of the Black Teachers Union, one of our powerful affiliates. And they were ones who demanded that if we were going to merge, if they were going to merge, then we had to make a commitment to ensuring that educators of color were involved in leadership and that we would train them, that we would dedicate resources to lifting up and supporting champions of human and civil rights. Our racial and social justice work at the NEA today is steeped in that history. So I appreciate you sharing that, because it is a rich history and one that continues to remind us at the NEA what we have been called to do.
And a history of diversity before diversity was a word we're using. So commonly. So we're right in your wheelhouse. So let's begin there, because what we're literally seeing is an attack on education on all fronts, particularly on public education. Let me just also share, folks, you know, folks in my family, and Becky knows this, but a lot of those Black teachers in the South went to HBCUs. Now, NEA represents public education teachers, but we know Becky Pringle went to the Tennessee States and the ANIs and all that to get their teaching degrees to teach. And now Trump is saying he wants to hurt those schools as well. So, you know, they're coming after us on all fronts. How devastating is it that we have this new Secretary of Education and what she's up to?
Well, Mark, we know, you know, Donald Trump told us what he was going to do. And as much as he tried to walk away from Project 2025, we knew that that was the plan. And it wasn't just, I didn't talk about it as a blueprint, only as a blueprint for what was going to happen. We have but to look back in 2016 when he nominated Betsy DeVos. And what she did for 4 years is to devastate the work of the Department of Education to try to privatize public education and to allow the wolves at the door. There was so much predatory lending, especially that trapped our students of color into loans that they could never pay off. That's a legacy that Donald Trump had from his first administration. So it wasn't a surprise that he would start this second administration again, attacking our public schools, again, coming up with voucher schemes to take money from our public schools, and again, harming those students who have been historically marginalized in this country. So we're not surprised. And Linda McMahon's nomination as Secretary of Education, we know the plan is to implement Project 2025, which is to gut public education.
And in the form of vouchers, first of all, is that kind of the first thing that they're trying to push?
Absolutely. And we've already seen that happening. But I will tell you this, Mark, and one of the things that NEA is doing is collecting stories from all over the country, because people think, for example, that because after that first executive order in his first week and a half, that the OMB rescinded that order and all of the challenges to Head Start. Who takes on the earliest loaners? Right. Head Start and nutritious meals and those funds that we know specifically are targeted students with disabilities and those who live in poverty. And even though that was rescinded, the Trump administration was very clear. They're going to move forward with those cuts. So the cuts have already happened. I want to be clear with everyone. We are losing teachers all over this country, specifically special education teachers, because of cuts that have already happened in the Department of Education. I was talking to a former Kansas teacher of the year last week, and he said in his community, in his school district, they stand to lose 4,000 jobs because of the cuts to the Department of Education. Now, let's translate that into what that means. We know what that means. Larger class sizes, teachers and all of the educators who work in public schools, whether they're teaching or feeding or nurturing or nursing them, we know what that means. That means larger class sizes. That means they won't be able to meet individual needs, let alone address the mental health needs that so many of our kids are coming to us with. And so it's having real impact right now.
And let me ask you this. What would be, because they say they want to eliminate the department. So now, is that what we see happening, or are they going to hold on to it to try to orchestrate some of these plans? And frankly, which is, from your point of view, which is worse, to eliminate it or to let Linda McMahon have full reign?
That is an interesting question, because we're already seeing the negative adverse impact on our kids, right? Right. And the department is there. And let me give you an example. A lot of people, most people don't know what the Department of Education does. They're finding out now, because we have parents in Spotsylvania, Virginia, get notices that their students with disabilities were going to lose their services. And so it's really important that folks understand the real impact that's happening right now. So the Department of Education actually is responsible for the funds that our students with disabilities get, the students who come from low income economic status, the students who have additional needs. 65% of them get their services and funding from the Department of Education. And so it's important for it to exist because it was established because we knew the federal government had a role to play, especially when we're talking about equity and access. Can we still say that word, Mark? So equity and access, making sure that when we say every student, we actually mean every student. So the federal government had a role to play coming out of the civil rights legislation of the late 60s. So it is important that the department exists, but we also know that they have other ways, even if it does exist, if it doesn't go away, because that would take an act of Congress. So even if it doesn't go away, we saw that, right? Firing of employees, which of course impacted whether students got help just filling out, you know, forms to go on to college. Those students who did everything we asked them to do. And now they're trying to get financial aid and they can't get that help in the Department of Education. And the last thing I'll say, which a lot of people don't know, is the role that the Department of Education plays in terms of the civil rights protections of our students. And they are flipping that in a way that that office still exists, but they are not fighting for our historically marginalized students. Those students are Black and Brown and Indigenous students, our LGBTQ plus students, our students with disabilities. They're not fighting for them. Right. So that the office exists and it's not doing the work it was intended to do, it's also dangerous. It sets those students up in ways that they're going to be harmed.
You mentioned whether we could use the word equity anymore, and it just seems to me, Madam President, the right has a way of attacking terminology, and they become fixated with it. So whether it's CRT, woke, and now it's diversity, equity, inclusion, but diverse DEI really is we didn't come up with that. We know that came up from corporate America after George Floyd. What you and I have always called it, and what our movement has always called it, is civil rights. And so when they say a DEI, they're really attacking civil rights, which, as you just described, they're not upholding. Neither particularly is that office at the Department of Education. So I asked you about the two scenarios. Let me ask you about another one, because I think people are also duped by this. If you attack public schools and start shutting them down and shifting funds to vouchers and private and all these charter situations, that's not really a good thing either, because we're finding that a lot of parents and students, when they take that path, within a year or so, those things don't work out and they're left in the cold, right? I mean, that's not, you know, and I'm not trying to just generally knock. I mean, there's some schools trying to do what they need to do. There's some good private schools, some good charter schools, but private schools are closing. I live in the Bronx. My son went to Cardinal Hayes, one of the biggest Bronx high schools or schools in history is closing. So if you attack the public schools, and then you give me a voucher to go to a private school, and these private schools are no longer sustainable, then what am I doing? I've already cut money out of the public schools, and every dollar we take from them, it affects their ability to provide the best education. So that scenario in and of itself is not helpful to anyone either, and it may just not work out.
And it doesn't. So when you talk about those parents who, first of all, when they get a voucher, it's not enough to cover.
Right.
So we're already talking about inequities, right?
Right.
And we're taking money out of the public school where 90% of our students go, 95% of our students with disabilities. And I really want you to grasp that number. You and I both know that when private schools get students who require more resources to educate them, we've seen it happen over and over again. They get the vouchers, take the money out of public schools, and then they send those students back to the public schools. Mm-hmm. To public schools that have been decimated, they get to keep the money. This is not even the right word. But a lot of people don't know that's what's happening. It's why we had so many parents right there in New York, and as a matter of fact, When we went on a listening tour with the NAACP and we were talking about corporate charter schools taking money out of our schools, shutting down, just like you said, and leaving our most vulnerable students without a place or without the resources that they needed to have, and parents scrambling to try to find education for their students. So there's that. But, you know, Mark, you know, I taught science for 31 years. So the real impact on our students and our parents, I understand. I understand from a classroom level. I understand from a racial, social, education, economic justice place. Because it's as a teacher, I always stood in the gaps to try to get my kids what they need. And we know that. All teachers take money out of their own family's budget to educate those students, to help educate those students who need it. But my dad was a history teacher, Mark. And I really need folks to understand what's happening here. The existential threat that is right now. I know that public education is the foundation of this or any democracy. And what my dad forced me to learn, and I do mean force, I didn't like history, but he made the three of us, my sisters and me, sit down and sit, and he said to us, Rebecca, that's what he called me, was really mad or very serious. Rebecca, you need to know your family history. You need to know Black history because it is American history. He was saying that long before anybody else was saying that. Mm-hmm. And he said, and you need to know, and you need to know world history. You need to understand it because you can follow the trajectory of societies and governments, empires. You can always follow the rise and fall. And when they start to fall, it's because that the people in positions of power are taking away the right for its citizens to learn. I need folks to understand what's happening here. When 90% of our students go to public schools and 3 out of 4 of them are students of color, they are focused on taking away the resources, decimating our schools, then calling them failing because they didn't provide the resources, and slowly dismantling public education so we can't ensure that we have critical thinkers and collaborative problem solvers to stop them from their unfettered march toward ultimate control and power. We have to understand the threat that we are facing right now, not only individual parents and their children, but everyone's children and every community and this country.
Hair thinning can happen for so many reasons. Whether it's stress or hormones or anything, at Nutrafol, we've learned that real change starts below the surface. Our hair growth supplements take a whole body approach and target the key root causes of hair thinning, so you can see visibly thicker, stronger hair in 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Well, and to be clear, Madam President, don't some of the children of Donald Trump's own constituents and voters, don't they need the public school system too? Am I wrong about that?
You are not wrong. And let me tell you, even with all the loss in the last election, we had some really significant wins.
Okay.
And the one I want to talk about to the point that you're making is the win that we had in Kentucky when they were trying to go after vouchers there in Kentucky. Hmm. And every single of the 120 counties in Kentucky said, no, you will not take money from our public schools. We love our public schools and we're going to defend them. And we have no place in our education system for vouchers. So the point that you're making is absolutely correct. And that's one of the reasons why we are focused, the NEA is focused on getting stories from those communities and though the people who voted for him and many of whom are now saying, I didn't vote for that. So it's important for us to get those stories and share those stories about the real impact And by the way, let me just say this too. It's not only our most marginalized students, because if we're taking funding away from our students with special needs, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. impacts the budget of a school district, of the state budget for that matter. And that means it impacts all students and whether they have enough educators in your class, all students, and whether they have the resources they need to learn and learn and grow and thrive. So it is about our partnership with parents and the students themselves and the communities lifting up their voices, lifting up their stories, and reminding them of the people power they have to not just say no, but to hold lawmakers accountable right now and with every other election that is coming very soon.
Well, and I would imagine, obviously, you know, the school systems themselves don't want to go away. They don't want this onslaught. Normally, it's labor versus management, and you represent labor. But it would seem to me in this instance that labor and management have no choice but to come together. And it sounds like you all are when it comes to saving public schools, right?
We absolutely are, and we are a union, and not only management, but parents and community leaders are turning to us.
Good.
Because we know how to organize, and we know how to mobilize, and we know how to join those voices in a collective way that brings power to it. So you are absolutely right. They not only, whatever level of management you're talking about, all the way up to superintendents, school board members, we have had in the past, but certainly deepening right now, those partnerships, because it's always who is closest to the kids and who's closest to our communities. Right. Those are the people who make the greatest impact, and those are the people who can have the greatest impact. So we are coming together in one voice and saying, no, you need to understand what these cuts are doing to our kids. You need to understand when we call the Department of Education and nobody is there to help us with our student loan application, that's impacting my child and the children, the other children in our school. So that's what we're focused on. We are asking everyone to text ACTION, the word ACTION, to 48744, where they can not only share their stories, but they can have a direct contact to their member of Congress, who we are avalanche of phone calls and emails and texts and all of that, asking them questions and saying we're watching. And telling them what the impact is on our students and on our communities and our public schools. So please join us. We will be, of course, coming together across this country as we have. Not only, Martin, and this is really important, not only standing up and saying, no, you will not cut our public schools. But you and I both know our public schools, we have work to do. We have to strengthen them. We have to make sure that our students have what all of them have, what they need and what they deserve, so they can learn and grow and thrive.
Before we go, is it not true? I mean, on the one hand, we see they want to harm students. They want to harm all of us in so many ways. But what's the motivation? Isn't it somewhat true that a lot of this assault on public education is about land and property and some of those buildings? It isn't that part of the motivation, so they can grab some of that real estate? Because we got a lot of public schools, we got a lot of buildings, and I've seen in some cities, you know, you had these fights in the school closed. Next thing you know, somebody's got the property. So, wait a minute, is that the real agenda in all of this?
So, you know, Mark, I've been on this earth for a minute, so I want to say that's always been the agenda. This is not new.
Yeah.
It's always about money and control and power. It's always about that. So we need to be very, very clear that gutting the Department of Education, and for that matter, other departments, and Elon Musk's march toward extracting money from public institutions, it is for the purpose of funding more tax breaks to the billionaires. You know, those people who have more, they want to take it from our children who need more. So let's be clear, whether it's property, taking over property, or getting more billions, which, by the way, they've already gotten more billions since January 20th. but that is the ultimate goal. So we need to understand that the people who are harmed, have been and will be harmed, are those people who don't have that wealth. Those people who depend on the social systems within this country, like education, like healthcare, like housing, and all of the things, fair wages so that people can take care of their families. All of that is under attack. And ultimately, we know that the goal is for those who have more to get more.
Yep. Folks, we are in very serious times. And as Madam President mentioned, Musk, who wants to relitigate apartheid, public education is the bedrock of democracy. It is the foundation upon which civil rights and democracy were established in 1954. Obviously, Trump and his minions want to relitigate Brown in 1954. So we've got to be in this fight. The NEA has an army of 3 million at least members. Am I right about that?
That is correct. We have the largest labor union in this country.
Yeah, the largest. That says something. Teachers make up the largest labor union in this country. That shows you how important teaching is. That shows you how important public education is. And as I said, it's top to bottom. They're coming after colleges and universities that produce teachers. They're coming after teachers on the front line. And if they're coming after teachers, they're coming after students. Madam President, once again, tell everyone where to text action to. Give us our instructions about what to do.
First, know your power. Know your power. All the things we've talked about, yes, they can have impact, but no more than people power. So know your power. Please join us by texting ACTION, the word ACTION, to 48744 and join our movement.
Folks, please do so and follow NEA as well on social media. Keep up with everything. This affects us all of us. We all know the benefits of education, and we know the impact it has had in our lives. Becky Pringle, NEA president, thanks for joining us as always. Let's talk again soon. And let me just make a suggestion. Y'all know I like to conduct meetings even on my show. Feel free to organize and send parents and teachers here to go, if they would like to go on the record to tell some of their stories. We need to get some of those folk in front of the camera, especially some of those who we don't think are affected by that, you know, in some of the rural areas and some even the Trump areas, but all walks of life. Feel free to share, because we know our power, but I think we're going to have to start putting faces on some of our struggle. People need to see those who are actually affected and the magnitude of this. So you all are, my show is NEA show. I've said that before. Whatever y'all want, y'all don't even have to give me no notice. Y'all call me and text me and say, Mark, I need to come on the show in 5 minutes and it's going to happen. So you know, this is that, you know, and I laugh when DC Public Schools asked me to come in and teach broadcast radio. Fine. I walk in the door the first day and the union elects me building rep. I say, y'all, I just got here. I'm just here to do this. And all. We know who you are. You're going to be the building rep.
Hey, that's the story of all of our lives.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going in to teach. Said, day one, you the building rep. No question about it. And then I was off to organizing. I'm proud of that history. That's important. But just doing that, I realized what I was doing in organizing, Becky, was as urgent as what I was doing in the classroom, because teachers were under such assault. I came into D.C. just before the Michelle Rhee takeover. So, you know, I was right. We were fighting. And, you know, we've had teachers, y'all, we won't even get into teachers who've taught for decades and are under attack and have reached a place where they have built the type of legacy that Becky Pringle built 30 years and her father before her. And it affects morale. When you are a teacher and you already have to come out of your own pocket, nobody complains about that. But you do that as a teacher. It's inevitable. Everybody says, I want to be a teacher. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to spend some of your own money. That's just part of teaching, even on the best of days. You do that. And then you're being attacked by an administration like this. That's morale. And I'm going to tell y'all something. As strong as some of us have been, you know, kids are smarter now. Now, they're more sophisticated. Not only do they need more resources, they're more discerning. Students can tell sometimes when their teachers are under pressure and under attack. It affects the whole atmosphere in the classroom, in the school. So we can't have this. Teaching should be, and schools should be, a place of joy and learning. And every student should have that opportunity. So I don't mean to go off like that, but look. This is where we at, y'all. We can't be robotic about it, folks. We send our kids to school every day. Our kids from school age, they're going to spend more time in a school than they will with us. Hours on a day, weird work there at school. So we got to make sure that these schools are providing for our young people. And when you've got organized labor and administrators and management and states and cities coming together, that don't always happen in history, for the purpose of saying, you know, we're going to agree. We may disagree on some things, but we're going to agree. We got to stop this onslaught. That's a very important moment in history. I'm sure a moment in history your dad would have taught about how urgent this is. So, folks, please, man, please, sir, get involved. And, you know, even if you grown and don't have no kids in school, support it anyway. Support it anyway, because if we got to build a society that's smarter. And what part of the thing that's happening is people don't understand history and civics enough to even know what's going on. So this is why school and learning is so, so important. We wouldn't be here if not for it. And it is an opportunity for diverse groups to come together, learn about each other, and beat back some of this assault on diversity. Becky Pringle, so good to see you. You know, I'm standing with you always. And folks, we want you to text ACTION to, is it 48744? Do I have it right?
48744. That's correct.
Do that now, please, ma'am, please, sir. Get involved and let's get some of these stories told. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Mark. And I heard an offer. I heard an offer in there, and I'm going to take you up on that offer. You need to hear from those folks who are on the front lines with our kids.
Yeah.
Their real stories and what they need.
And, you know, and I'll just say, you know this, I'm sure you've heard the news. We've lost one of our most important shows, Joy Reid.
Yes. Yes.
So I got to step up. We've got to get back to, you know, preserving our media institutions so we can get this word out. That's not a coincidence. So you take somebody like Joy Reid off the air, you somewhat take the Becky Pringles and the Mark Thompsons and the people who need to tell these stories, because these are the only places you're going to hear those stories. Mm-hmm. All right. So folks, we've all got to be together on this.
We do.
And Becky preached the word when she opened. She said, we have to know our power. We have more power than we realize if we but exercise it. Okay. All right. Wonderful. I'm through preaching.
That's why they tapped you to be building rep. And I want to encourage folks, get involved. Win with Black Women took on this issue right away. Yep. They came together as they always do, and began that work to try to ensure that voices that are so important, like Joy Reid's, where she every day speaks truth to power unabashedly.
That's right.
And fearlessly.
That's right.
We have to surround her with that support in this moment, because that is a voice that must be heard.
Absolutely. As well as yours and all of those whom you serve, So, folks, you'll be hearing more about this. We're going to stay on this. Becky Pringle, once again, thank you for joining us on Make It Plain.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.